I didn't answer Brooklyn's question. I only told her the mechanics of that because the, and I could have pressed the salvation message, but my, all of a sudden my mind went, did that help at least a little bit? And we ended right there. And I posted it just like it was. So I might get some comments, critiques saying, hey, how come you didn't preach the gospel to her? Because 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, for the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he understand them. They're foolishness, for they're spiritually discerned. So unless someone is saved, they're not going to trust this word. They can't. You know, it doesn't work that way. You trust the word and then you believe in Jesus. You have to believe in Jesus from the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God or the word of Christ in the English Standard Version. But that has to happen first. We have to be illuminated to the truth so that the truth may shine forth. It comes from the truth. We receive Christ and now worshiping Christ, illuminated by Christ, then we can trust the word. Because the unsaved person can't trust the word. It's foolishness to him. So I only gave her the mechanics of it. So, oh, and by the way, for those of you just joining in on our episodes, Pastor Bud, Sister Connie, Brother Kevin, Sister Kim, we changed the name Diabolus to Diabolus and kind of give them a little bit of a flair. But when I publish this modern edition, I'm going to change his name back to Diabolus so that I don't get the critics beating me over the electronic over the head with electronic club. Diabolus mounted an attack upon Mansoul using more than 20,000 doubters with Mr. Incredulity as Lord General over the army. Diabolus didn't know, however, that Mr. Prywell had warned Mansoul of their impending march, which roused and readied Mansoul while striking dread in the Diabolonians because of Mansoul's renewed zeal and watchfulness. But as I said, the captains and soldiers of Mansoul resisted so stoutly and did so by such execution with their stones that they caused Diabolus, though against stomach, to retreat. And for this reason, Mansoul began to take courage. Now, upon Mount Diabolus, which was raised on the north side of the town, the tyrant set up his standard there, and a fearful thing it was to behold. For he crafted upon it some devilish art, which resembled a shield or coat of arms. On the art was a flaming flame, with the picture of Mansoul burning in it. It was frightening to behold. When Diabolus had done this, he commanded his drummer to approach the walls of the town of Mansoul every night and to beat a parley for a meeting. He commanded this to take place at night, for in the daytime they annoyed him with their slings. Because the town of Mansoul now trembled, he had it in mind that by commanding the drums to beat every night, that through weariness they might at last, if possible, at the first they were unwilling yet, be forced to parley. So this drummer did as commanded. He arose and beat his drum, but when his drum roared, if one looked toward the town of Mansoul, behold darkness and distress, and the light is darkened by its clouds. No noise was ever heard upon earth more terrible, except the voice of Shaddai when he spoke. But how did Mansoul tremble? It now looked for nothing except to be immediately swallowed up. When this drummer had beaten for a parley, he made his speech to Mansoul. My master has bid me to tell you that if you willingly submit, you shall have the good of the earth. But if you are stubborn, he is resolved to take you by force. When the fugitive spoke and had stopped beating his drum, the immediate recourse of the people of Mansoul was to the captains who were in the castle. Since there was none to regard nor any left to give his drummer an answer, the drummer proceeded no further that night, but returned again to his master at the camp. When Diabolus saw that by drumming he could not work out or influence Mansoul toward his will. The next night, he sent his drummer without his drum, still to let the townsmen know he had a mind to parley with them. But when all came to all, his parley had become a summons to the town to surrender themselves. They gave him neither heed nor hearing, for they remembered what it cost them to hear him a few words the first time. The next night he sent again, and then who should be his messenger to Mansoul but the terrible Captain Sepulcher? Captain Sepulcher came up to the walls of Mansoul and made his oration to the town. O, you inhabitants of the rebellious town of Mansoul, I summon you in the name of the prince, Diabolus, that without any more ado, you open the gates of your town and admit the great Lord to come in. But if you should still rebel, when we have taken the town by force, we will swallow you up like the grave. Therefore, if you will listen to and heed my summons, say so. And if not, then let me know. The reason for my summons, he continued, is this. For my Lord is your undoubted prince and Lord. As you yourselves have formerly owned, the assault upon my Lord when Emmanuel dealt so dishonorably with him shall not prevail upon him to lose his right, nor prevent attempts in recovering what is his. Consider, then, O Mansoul, will you show yourself peaceable or no? If you quietly yield to us, then our old friendship shall be renewed. But if you still refuse and rebel, then expect nothing but fire and sword. When the languishing town of Mansoul heard this summoner and his summons, they were even more downcast, but still gave no answer at all to the captain. So away he went as he came. But after some consultation among them, as also with some of their captains, they applied themselves again to the Lord Secretary for counsel and advice from him. For this Lord Secretary was the chief preacher, as was also mentioned some pages before. Only now he was ill at ease. The townsfolk begged his favor in these two or three things. Young people, do you remember who the Lord Secretary chief preacher was? The Holy Spirit, that's right. Number one, that he would look comfortably upon them and not keep himself retired from them as much as he had formerly. Also, that he would be persuaded to give them a hearing while they should make known their miserable condition to him. But to this he told them, as before, that as yet he was still uneasy and therefore could not do as he had formerly done. Number two, the second thing that they desired was that he would be pleased to give them his advice about their now so important affairs, because Diabolus had come and sat down before the town with no less than 20,000 doubters. They said, moreover, that both he and his captains were cruel men and that they were afraid of them. But to this, he said, you must look to the law of the prince and there see what is laid upon you to do. Number three, then they desired that his highness would help them frame a petition to Shaddai and unto Emmanuel, his son. And I probably should have asked you young people, does that portion of scripture look familiar? If the Holy Spirit is saying, you must look to the law of the prince and there see what is laid upon you to do. Was that a memory verse at one time, sister? Psalm 119, verse 105, up at the top line. That one says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Bunyan didn't put it up there, but we all know that that's what he was more than likely thinking about. Or some other scripture, but this one fit. I added it. It's not in the original, the Holy War. And number three, then they desired that his highness would help them frame a petition to Shaddai and unto Emmanuel, his son, and that he would set his own hand to it as a token that he was one of them in it. For, said they, my Lord, many petitions have we sent, yet can get no answer of peace. But now, surely, one with your hand upon it may obtain good for man's soul. But all the answer that he gave to this was that they offended their Emmanuel, and had also grieved himself, and that therefore they must yet partake of their own devices. Discipline. This answer from the Lord's secretary fell like a millstone upon them. Yes, it crushed them so that they could not tell what to do. Yet they dared not comply with the demands of Diabolus, neither with the demands of his captain. So then, these were the straits the town of Mansoul was betwixt when the enemy came upon her. Her foes were ready to swallow her up, and her friends delayed to help her. Then my Lord Mayor stood up, whose name was my Lord Understanding, and he began to pick and pick until he had picked comfort out of that seemingly bitter saying of the Lord's secretary. For thus he commented upon it. First, said he, this unavoidably follows upon the saying of my Lord, that we must yet suffer for our sins. Secondly, but he continued, the words yet sound as if at last we should be saved from our enemies, and that after a few more sorrows, Emmanuel will come and be our help. Now, the Lord Mayor was the more critical in his dealing with the secretary's words, because my Lord was more than a prophet, and because none of his words were such, but that at all times they were most exactly significant, and the townsmen were allowed to dig into them and examine them to their best advantage. So they took their leaves of my Lord. Then they returned and went to the captains, to whom they told what my Lord High Secretary had said, who, when they had heard it, were all of the same opinion as was my Lord Mayor himself. The captains, therefore, began to take courage and to prepare to make some brave attempt upon the camp of the enemy, and to destroy all that were Diabolonians with the roving doubters that the tyrant had brought with him to destroy the poor town of Mansoul. So all armed themselves immediately and went to be continued. Dun, dun, dun. Awesome. Remember from last episode, in episode 68, there were nine captains over doubters. And one of them, out of the nine, there was Captain Sepulcher. Now, why do you think Captain Sepulcher was one of them that sent as a messenger with a summons? Captain Sepulcher, first of all, what is a sepulcher? It's a grave, it's a tomb. And these are the armies of doubters, and he was sent because Mansoul is in what kind of condition? The Lord Jesus' presence isn't, Emmanuel's presence isn't with them. And now the Lord's secretary, the chief preacher, the Holy Spirit, is not giving them the comfort. They are under the conviction, convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment phase of the Holy Spirit. You know why the Captain Sepulcher would be the reason why he's bringing doubt to Mansoul? What does the grave mean for Jesus? Did the grave hold Jesus? 3 days later, what happened? He rose from the dead. So Captain Sepulcher is the enemy's way of when we've backslidden and we've sinned, Satan will come and try to instill doubt in us that we could rise again. But life, as we'll see in Ecclesiastes, life is a death resurrection experience. Christ came and lived and died and rose again so that we could recognize that we are to die daily. And we rise again. And each time we rise, once we fall, or once we have died and put something to death, each time we rise with more glory, because we rise only in the power of Christ. So thought I'd just throw that in there, my two cents concerning that. Any questions or comments?